Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast with Justin Colvin. Figuring out which coverage is best for you can be overwhelming and confusing. The Medicare Help Desk is here to answer all your questions. And now, here's your host, Medicare specialist, Justin Colvin.
Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. This is Justin Colvin, your host, entrepreneur, and insurance agency owner. We come here every Sunday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, covering all things Medicare, Social Security, retirement, and just bringing a lot of value to our listeners. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to us each and every Sunday. We really do appreciate our loyal listeners. And we try to bring new, fresh content every week to you, something that you can learn from, gain value, and help you just kind of navigate this mess that we call Medicare. It's a confusing process. So today is going to take a little bit of a turn. We're going to talk a little bit of kind of a political hot button type issue. And people have talked about this for many years, really for decades, that, you know, Medicare is going broke and Medicare's going to run out of money. So that's kind of the topic today is Medicare running out of money? Is it insolvent? Is it going to go bankrupt? So we're going to kind of unpack that in the two segments today. Again, if you're tuning in with us, this is Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. Again, every Sunday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, we commit our time to uncovering new information about Medicare and helping bring value to you. I'm an insurance agency owner. That's my primary occupation. And so each day I'm helping seniors with comparing their plan options, helping do annual reviews for existing clients, bringing on new clients, and just helping with the Medicare process. So what we mainly help with is the insurance side. So once you get access to Medicare A and B, there's a plethora of various plans you can choose from, both Medicare supplements, Medicare Advantage, prescription plans, and of course a lot of ancillary things like dental, vision, hearing, life insurance, retirement planning. So we help with all of the above. Now, we are an independent insurance brokerage. We represent about 30 plus insurance companies across the country. I'm close to about 40 states now as a national firm, so we do business with clients all over the U.S. And so we have a lot of knowledge and skill set with helping you. So give us a call. You know, if you have questions or comments about the show, you want me to do a review for you, you want to refer a friend or family, give me a call. My number direct is 850-632-0033. That's the local number here in Tallahassee, Florida, which is where we produce this weekly show. Again, that number, 850-632-0033. Toll free, you can reach me at 1-800-414-2044. And our website again is www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. So let's just jump right into it today. Again, I thought this would be a good topic. People have talked about this for really ages. I mean, Medicare's been around since the mid-60s, so it's nothing new. But with all government programs, you know, there's not a lot of planning, I would say, long-term. You know, they just, you know, they come up with some kind of new program they're going to create, and then they don't think about the long-term ramifications and, you know, how demographic shifts can impact the sustainability of a program. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. And so I just want to kind of give, there's an article I found online, and there's dozens and dozens of articles you can find about this within a quick Google search. But the one I'm going to talk about, the topic, it just says, where the title is Industry Voices Medicare as Going Bankrupt. And it's written by Sally Pipes of the Pacific Research Institute. So it's another think tank. You know, NPR has produced articles and white papers on this. A lot of other, you know, non-for-profit or nonpartisan type groups have talked about this. It's an issue that both sides of the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats, can agree that it's broken. I mean, we have some issues that need to be fixed. There's not been a lot of, resolution on what to do. I think most politicians choose to kick the can down the road, which is common, because there's a lot of hard choices, I would say, to make. If you're really going to fix the problem, the sustainability of Medicare, you know, we have issues right now with the amount of money that's spent in healthcare dollars. That's the big issue, and there's just not enough tax receipts coming in to support the program long-term. And we're going to talk about some of those demographics, how they've changed to create this kind of perfect storm, if you will. But let me read a few paragraphs from this article, and then we're going to kind of unpack that. And then in the second segment, I'm going to go over some of the solutions that they present and then my thoughts on that. And certainly I'm no politician. I'm not an elected representative. I'm not sure what the real answer is to this, but there's some tough choices other than just printing more money, which it seems like we've been doing that for now quite a while, and that seems to be the answer for everything. Any shortfall of government revenue or any deficit is just print more money. So that's certainly the easy option, and maybe the option they take. I mean, they've been doing that already for other programs that don't have the sustainability. Certainly don't want to do that long term. I mean, I'd endanger our currency and our country, survival, but that just seems like what the easy, convenient method is. But let me read a few paragraphs and we'll kind of unpack this. So what it says here, Medicare is running out of money. According to the latest projections from the Congressional Budget Office, or CBO, the program's Part A hospital insurance trust fund will be exhausted in 2024. So let me repeat that. That's 2024. That's 3 years away. This is Part A they're referencing. That's just 3 years away and before the end of President Joe Biden's first term. Now, it used to be 2026. I've read that before in other articles. And COVID has, unfortunately, you know, exacerbated this problem because it's decreased a lot of the tax receipts as businesses have been failing. People have been laid off. So now it's even sooner that we're supposedly going to be running out of money or shortfalls in just 3 years away. Continuing on here, Congress and the Biden administration will have to take action to preserve the program, speaking of Medicare, of course, for its more than 60 million beneficiaries, requiring wealthy seniors to cover a greater share of their benefits and injecting more competition into the program by subsidizing the purchase of private coverage would help put Medicare back on sound financial footing. When former President Lyndon B. Johnson, who created the Medicare program, when he signed Medicare into law in 1965, the average life expectancy was 70. Today, it's nearly 79. It's almost, you know, 10 years older, right? Seniors are now the fastest growing demographic in the country, and they're projected to outnumber children by 2034. Medicare's outlays are also steadily growing, too. They hit $800 billion just in 2019. And then it further says revenues aren't keeping pace. We know that. The program is financed through income taxes and payroll taxes, most notably the FICA tax of 1.45% on Medicare. That amount of money is used to generate a lot of the funds to finance the Medicare program. Young and middle-aged workers effectively hand over a portion of their wages to pay for seniors' health care. Half a century ago, there were four workers per Medicare enrollee. Today, that ratio is down to 3 to 1, and it'll be just over 2 to 1 within the next 10 years. With fewer workers supporting more seniors, the math behind the Medicare program stops working. Totally agree. I mean, demographics have changed dramatically. And then the last paragraph, and I'm going to unpack all this. COVID-19 and the economic turmoil that has accompanied it sped up that timeline. Mass business closures, layoffs, furloughs, and downshifting to part-time work all contracted to government's tax receipts. The CBO, again, that's the Congressional Budget Office, does a lot of the numbers and crunching and the studies behind this, the actuarial numbers. They calculate that COVID-19 will cut $43 billion from the trust fund revenues just this year. That's pushing the, you know, insolvency rate up to 2024. So this is just around the corner. So let's kind of uncover all this. So again, people are living longer. We know this. And this, you know, I don't know if they could have predicted this back in the 60s when they first came out with the Medicare program, but you've got people living almost a decade longer, right? So now we have to pay for healthcare costs as people are aging. And so if you think about that, as you get older, you don't get more healthy. You generally get less healthy. Things tend to break down. And since people aren't dying sooner, they're dying later, the cost to treat them in those later years is significantly higher, which is adding a lot of burden and stress, you know, financial stress to the Medicare program, which is to be expected. I mean, obviously, you want to live longer, but it comes at a cost. It's going to cost more. Also, the cost of technology, medical advancements, inflation with the money, federal government printing money like it's going out of style, all these things are contributing not only to the cost of the health care going up, the cost to treat people, but now people are demanding more health care because they're living longer. So, you know, and on top of that, you have less workers to support it. So if you look at this, it's literally a perfect storm. You have the cost going through the roof, right? You have people living longer, right? You have less people working to support this program. So you're getting less tax receipts, and all the while the health care costs are going up. And the amount of people that are demanding that health care, that pool is just exponentially growing. We call it a silver tsunami in our industry. There's presently 60 million people on Medicare and 11,000 people a day turning 65, right? That is tremendous. And so the numbers are just going to keep ballooning. So something kind of has to be done to help to preserve the program long term, right? So I know there's a lot of solutions out there. That's what we're going to get into more in the second segment, kind of unpack what this article recommends be done and what I think should be done. And then hopefully we'll talk about what may actually be done by the politicians, the real problem solvers, you know. So hopefully this has covered some information here. We'll be right back in a few minutes just paying some bills. Again, it's Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show. Welcome back to the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show. This is Justin Colvin, your insurance broker extraordinaire. Today we're going to be talking about a hot button, a hot topic, right? So is Medicare running out of money? Well, this has been a conversation for the decades, right? A lot of people have been talking about this for a long time. And so we thought we'd bring about this subject matter, kind of talk about it a little bit, discuss it. So again, it's Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show. Each Sunday at 12:30, I'm here discussing all things Medicare. Tune in every Sunday if you can. Also, all the sessions, all the recordings are on the website. You can also listen to previous episodes there. So we try to bring in new content. If you have a question or concern or any feedback, or there's a topic you want me to cover, you know, shoot us a text, give me a call. The number is 850-632-0033. Again, that's 850-632-0033. You can also drop us a line on our website. It's www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. So, again, as I was talking about in the first, you know, segment, we talked about, is Medicare running out of money? I just kind of read some paragraphs from this article that was produced. It was actually written this year, February 24th, 2021. So this is a fairly recent article, but there's no shortage of articles that discuss the, you know, insolvency or possible running out of money within the Medicare system. People have talked about this for Social Security and, you know, Medicaid and, you know, other projects, other, you know, entitlement programs. And I think it's just with a lot of government programs, they have the best intentions, but unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of things you just don't anticipate. People living longer, like a decade longer or more, the cost of healthcare increasing, the ballooning of the, you know, senior retiree population. And then also, you know, the problem we have is we don't have enough people being born today. The birth rate has collapsed in a lot of Western countries. And shame on our younger generation, myself included. We don't have enough kids. So you need to have a healthy population, you know, producing people, right, to help to carry those that are older and the entitlements that have been promised. And that's probably one of the biggest issues. There's just not enough people. If you remember back in that article, the first section I read, that in just the next 10 years, the ratio, well, it used to be 4 to 1, 4 workers per Medicare enrollee to sustain it, it'd only be 2. So you basically have chopped in half. There's just not enough people working and paying into the system to support those that are on it, and it's just going to continue to grow. So obviously there has to be some hard decisions to be made, unless we're just going to keep printing more money, which may be the route the federal government takes. But let me talk about some of the suggestions this article references, okay? So they say here, raising taxes, obviously, right? You know, there's only 2 ways to fix this. It's either, you know, money coming into the system, so we need more revenue, or we cut benefits. That's really the only 2 ways you can do this, right? So there's a lot of options you have within those 2 categories. So the first one says raising taxes, which would be FICA, which is a payroll tax that we all pay, both the employer and the employee. So that's one way. Or slashing benefits, or a combination of both. But, you know, these things could have been done for many years. It's not politically palatable under any circumstances, right? I mean, that's like political suicide. Seniors vote, and they vote with their feet. They're one of the highest voting groups. So to say we're going to cut your benefits or raise your taxes or raise your premiums, that's not going to set well. We already know that. So I think that's why no politicians really suggested that as a platform. Although it really is the answer. I mean, you have to do something, right? I mean, what are we going to do? Just kind of kick the can down the road, which we've been doing. But it's a difficult choice to make, and it's understandable a lot of politicians don't want to bring that to fruition, as it would really jeopardize their career and their elected position. But sometimes hard choices had to be made. Not sure what the ultimate, you know, decision would be to fix this issue, but this is one of the things they talk about. And then he also mentioned that, you know, Part A. You know, Part A is free right now. You don't pay anything into it, or you don't pay any premium, rather, for it. You've basically, it's been financed by the payroll tax. So you get Part A. Most seniors get it for free. It's called premium-free Part A. The Part B is the one that has the monthly premium. And actually, if you go back far enough, Part B didn't have a premium either. If you go back to the mid-60s, like a lot of government programs, it starts out all free, hunky-dory, and then, of course, it's underestimated how much cost it will be, and then they start to raise the cost slowly, and it just climbs. So it used to be Part B had no premium either, and now it's $148.50. But there's talk about, okay, we could just maybe charge a small premium for the Part A. That would not set well, but, I mean, it's an option, you know. They could take the Part B premium that's presently $148.50. They could raise that even further. Also not going to be, you know, very well favored amongst seniors. You know, this population, this is one of our greatest generations. They've built and really helped construct a lot of the country. If you think about post-World War II, some of the greatest businesses, greatest organizations, it really had just great work ethic. And so to jeopardize the promises that we've made to this generation would just not set well, and it's not the right thing to do. So certainly there's got to be some other ways to fix this, but these are, you know, ways they're suggesting to possibly reduce some of the deficits and shortfalls associated with Medicare, these ways. You know, you could also reduce the benefits. That's another talk, obviously. That's the other side of it. Instead of trying to get more revenue from the taxes or charging the beneficiaries that are on Medicare for those extra premiums, you could just cut benefits. Also not going to set well. You know, obviously, you know, presently Medicare pays 80% of the tab, and you can get a supplement to pick up the other 20%, or you can choose a Medicare Advantage as an alternative to Medicare. But presently, Medicare pays 80%. That's a large chunk. They've talked about maybe cutting that to 75% or 70%, putting annual limits on it, putting higher deductibles on it. Obviously, still, we're reducing benefits, but it would rein in cost. So those are the two main measures. They have one option they mentioned here, and I don't like this one, but it says reducing costs by doing a means test where essentially wealthy retirees would not receive Medicare, or they would have to pay significantly higher premiums. I'm like, you know, wait a minute. I disagree with this. We already do this. We already do this right now. It's called IRMA. IRMA, which stands for Income Related Modified Adjustment, is what happens when you are successful, okay, and you've made significant money, and as a retiree, what they do is they go back 2 years on your income. The IRS does. And so if you've made over a certain benchmark in your income, they charge you more than the standard premium than everybody else. Presently, the standard premium for Medicare B is $148.50. But I've got clients that pay double and even triple that, unfortunately, because they're a high income earner. So we're already doing this. I don't want to do it even, I don't want to make it even worse. I mean, these are the people that create jobs, these are people that are successful. We're going to penalize them further. Plus, there's not that many of them. You know, this is like a needle in a haystack. Yes, this will generate some extra money, but it's not going to be enough to solve the shortfall. There's bigger problems at bay. But that's one of the suggestions they make. And then, of course, what's behind door number three? Print more money. That's what I said earlier. That's what I think they'll do. Just because it's the easiest, you know, thing to do. I mean, we're already doing this. We have printed, I think I read some stat. It was last year. Was it during COVID? I think 2020. That out of all the federal U.S. dollars ever produced in circulation or in currency, you know, now it's just digital, it was like 30%, I think, were created in 2020, which is literally mind-boggling if you think about how long of a country we've been, the length of time, 250-plus years, right? And we produce more currency, like a third of the currency almost, in a single year. That's how much money printing is going on, which is literally insane. And that's why we're seeing all this. The stock's going to the moon. Real estate's been just on an incredible tear, especially in the last 12 months. This is all inflationary. You know, hopefully we don't turn into Weimar Republic. Hopefully we don't return into some hyperinflationary banana republic. But at the way things are going, it looks like if Medicare is going to be an issue long-term monetarily, I just see them printing money. It's just the easiest decision. You know, I mean, yes, you're going to pay more for a loaf of bread. Yes, you're going to pay more for a vehicle and real estate. Everything's getting more expensive, but it's already doing that. And it's like a subtle tax, right? You don't really see it. It's not direct like, hey, pay us more money for Medicare Part B. Hey, we're going to raise your taxes. Hey, we're going to cut your benefits. That's going to cause a lot of political turmoil. People are going to be unhappy. But they can just print money, right? And that's kind of like solves the problem, but you don't really, people don't get as upset about that. They just kind of complain that things are so much inflation. But That's what I see probably going to happen. Should we have socialized medicine, like a full single payer? I don't think that's the answer. Certainly not. Although people have suggested that. If you look at the other countries like Canada, just our neighbor to the north, people come here. People from Canada come to the U.S. to get an MRI or to get surgery because it's a waiting list. And the care is substandard. So we know that's not the answer. Although people talk about that is, it's not. And if you look at Medicare in a way, it's socialized, right? You pay into it, of course, but the costs that they have allocated that you pay in aren't enough to cover it. We know that, right? So it's already in a way, it's kind of in a way failing because it's just doesn't have the financing to sustain itself. But hopefully there's some movement within both sides of the political spectrum to help really want to solve the problem. And that's what we want. You know, there's a lot of these options are on the table. What they will do, we really don't know. But we hope that they have the right decisions or make the right decisions on this. But I thought it'd just be a good topic to go over today and kind of talk about some of the remedies possibly could happen. I really don't want to see anything happen to Medicare in terms of benefits being cut or anything like that for the retiree population. They've worked very hard for these benefits, okay? But we want to say thank you again for all our listeners out there. You know, Justin Colvin here at the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show. We try to bring, like I said, actionable content each and every Sunday. Hopefully you've gained some value today. If you have questions, call me, 850-632-0033. And we will see you next Sunday, 12:30. Thank you.